You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back. This has been an educational show. What do you think, Tammy?
Of course. Well, we're going to talk on this segment a little bit about, basically, it's installment loans is what it comes down to, and how it can boost or hurt your credit score.
Yeah, so when we talk about installment loans, what does that mean? Okay, an installment loan means that you borrow a certain amount of money and you're paying it back on a regular schedule.
Right.
As opposed to revolving credit, which is basically like credit card debt, or it's money where you can borrow against a line, you can pay it down, you can borrow against it again, which a home equity line of credit on a house is, you know, is similar. So revolving credit can be collateralized or uncollateralized. Most credit cards are uncollateralized debt.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to talk specifically about the four types of consumer loans that are going to be installment loans and how they affect how much home you can buy.
It just comes in two different types, basically. It's secured and unsecured loan. When you borrow money to buy a house, the bank can take back that house to recoup its money if you don't pay the debt. And that means the debt is secured. So let's talk a little bit more. So the first type of loan that can affect how much mortgage you can afford, you know, how much you can afford, is student loan debt. So Doug, this is a big one for you all the time.
Yeah, student loan debt's killing the millennial population's ability to buy.
Right.
Because it costs so much money to get through college these days. Or there are ways to get through it for less money, but people aren't always taking it.
Right. And if you have student loan debt, the number one thing to be sure you do is to make the payment. Make the payment.
Yeah, even if you negotiate the payment down to something you can afford, you can do an income-based repayment plan, but it's important that you continually make payments to them. Do not let them go late.
Right.
Don't bury your head in the sand. Mm-hmm. You have to be able
to... Don't ignore them, right.
Right, be responsible. Even if you didn't finish school, you still need to get on a plan to repay them. And they're not necessarily bad for your credit score.
Right, because that can help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it actually can establish a lot of credit for you when you're young and you don't have any credit. Having student loans out there is not necessarily a bad thing as far as what your credit score is going to be.
Right. It just really comes down to your consistency to pay. Because when you have a long time to pay this back, that's where it can help you in your credit score. So student loans will figure into your overall debt-to-income ratio. So a large student loan, and this is what basically you're talking about, Doug, is that's what can hurt your qualifications.
Yes, big time. Mm-hmm. All right, the number two type of consumer loan that's going to affect how much home you can buy are auto loans. Okay, auto loans, it's secured debt because the lender can repossess the car if you don't pay up. And they actually can help your credit score by diversifying the types of debt that you end up carrying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're a little bit harder to get than credit cards. And some mortgage lenders may look favorably on it only because you have you have enough credit out there. There are a lot of programs out there that require 3 active trade lines for at least 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so somebody who just opened up their first account is probably not going to be able to buy a house yet. Here's what I'll say about car loans. There's one thing about what car loans do for your credit score. There's another thing what it does for your personal finance picture. And I'm just going to say, when it comes to cars, it's a depreciating asset. Okay, you need to buy smart. I rarely believe in buying new cars. I don't see how the math can ever make sense unless you worked at one of the factories, a Ford factory or something, where you get that employee discount. Otherwise, I don't see how the new cars can work. And whatever car you buy, I'm constantly seeing these 72-month loans now. You start to finance a car for 72 months or 84 months, you're going to be upside down on that car very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And the car trap that I see is people buy this car and, you know, let's say they have a 6-year loan, so 72-month loan, and, you know, they're 3 years into it and now it needs some major repair. So they go to the dealership and they trade it in and they take a beating on the trade-in and they basically roll all that negative equity into their next loan. And just continues to exacerbate the situation. So don't do it.
sounds like a sore subject with you.
Well, it is, just because I see that as one of the biggest leaks in people's finances is how much money they spend on a car.
Mm-hmm. So basically, if you do have to buy a car, and whether it's new or used, it's on-time payments and making sure that it weighs into the overall balance of your debt-to-income ratio.
Yes. So what's your car payment going to be? And yes, having a longer car payment is going to give you a lower payment, which may actually help you qualify for the mortgage because the payment's a little lower. But just buy a more affordable car.
Right. So let's move on to number three, which is finance company loans, and otherwise known as payday loans or those sorts of types of loans.
All right. Important topic here, because sometimes payday loans are going to be secured by your car. Other times they're not secured by anything.
Mm-hmm.
But those are ridiculously high interest rate loans. And a lot of payday loans won't show up on your credit report, but a lot of finance company loans will.
Mm-hmm.
The credit reports look at that adversely. Okay, when they see a finance company loan or those really high interest rate loans on there, the credit bureau itself doesn't know what your interest rate is. But what they do know is the type of loan it is. And when it's a finance company loan, it hits your credit score much harder.
It hits it as a ding dong.
Yes. Well, because I mean, they're looking at it going, okay,
yep.
This person's obviously not too bright with their money if they're having to take out finance company loans or they're in a bad financial situation. We're going to forewarn any future creditor that, you know, that they're taking these out.
It's just a risk. It's a risky. Scores. Is what the message that it sends is that you're a higher risk.
Yes. Yep, you are a higher risk if you're taking out finance company loans.
So not knowing your situation, like, you know, if something majorly happens and it's an emergency type situation, it just is a risk.
Yes, it is. In case you just joined us, you're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're talking about the four consumer loans that affect how much home you can end up buying.
Right. So number four is your existing mortgage loan. So mortgages are a classic example of a secured debt because the bank has the ultimate collateral, which is your property, basically. So Doug, what can you add to that?
All right. So your existing mortgage, however much it is, okay, this is one reason why not to do a 15-year fixed loan. Okay. So let's say you own a property and maybe it's a second home or maybe it's a house you live in and you want to be able to rent it out and go buy another house. Or maybe you're going to put it up for sale, but in the meantime, you want to be able to buy the next house first so you don't have to double move. Well, we have to look at your existing mortgage loan and what's that existing debt, not just the principal and interest, but we have to see the taxes, the insurance, and the HOA, the Homeowners Association payments.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's $600 a year, we're going to divide that and we're going to take $50 a month into account on your debt ratios. So we want to know everything about those existing loans. And if you take a 15-year fix, the higher your required monthly payment, the harder it is to qualify for other loans.
It's true. And on an investor's side note, if you have a second property and it's a rental property, as a lender, they can only account your income from that after 2 years, after you've been a landlord for 2 years. So if you're wanting to buy another investment property and trying to get a loan on it, you're going to have that proof that you've been a landlord for 2 years. And then you'll have to qualify under what document, you know, what is it that they would have to, you know,
show for documented
for.
Income.
Right.
All right. So, and there are some exceptions we can make to that 2-year rule when it comes to rental income. There's actually been some recent changes in Fannie Mae guidelines that will now allow counting that rental income a little bit sooner. But if you do show rental income, it's going to show up on your Schedule E on your tax return. And a lot of times people will get cash rents and they don't end up including those in their income. Okay, well, now it's going to be much harder to qualify for your next house. If you try to write off all kinds of extra expenses and that shows a big negative cash flow on that property, now that mortgage is going to count against you more because it's going to be much tougher to qualify for the next house. So when it comes to looking at these four types of consumer loans, I think, Tammy, this really plays into some of our fundamental financial principles, and that is living below your means.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have to have well-rounded credit. You need to have enough loans out there that you've borrowed money and you've repaid money that shows that you're a good bet. And if you think of this in terms that you have a relative that comes to you for money and you give them a little loan. You know, let's say you're an adult and you have that teenage kid that comes to you, that's your neighbor kid or it's your nephew, and they want to borrow some money, and you loan it to them and they don't pay it back. You're not going to loan it again. But that kid comes and they borrow money and they pay it back just like they said they do. Now you're willing to loan them a little more. And you know, they repay that debt to you and you're going to loan them a little more. You have more and more confidence in them. That's the exact same principle that's happening, that the more times you borrow money and you repay it successfully, the better your chances of actually getting a loan in the future. So if you want to have your situation analyzed to make sure that you're in the best position to be able to qualify for a loan, even if you don't need one right now, come in for a consultation. I'll sit down and I'll go through and make sure you have the best debt strategy in place that's going to maximize your credit scores. It's going to take advantage of the best tax deductions. It's going to, you make sure that any mortgage you have fits into your long and short-term financial and investment plan and be able to use a property, okay, use real estate to build wealth, then reach out to me at 314-472-DOUG. That's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684, are the numbers for it. So, Tammy, anything else to add?
Nope, I think that sums it up.
All right. Well, remember that becoming smart with your money is as simple as listening every Sunday at 4 p.m., subscribing to our website at smartwithyourmoney.com, or by listening to our podcast, Smart With Your Money with Doug Haldeman. See you next week.